Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I am Rachel Kosowski, and today we will be studying Tehillim Perek Tet, Psalms chapter 9. One of the remarkable things about Sefer Tehillim is the range of emotions expressed in the different Mizmorim, Psalms, throughout the book. I am struck by the ability of David HaMelech, King David, the author of many of the Psalms, to experience the highs and lows of life in such close proximity to Hashem. We all experience a range of emotions every day and have more or less healthy ways of expressing them. David HaMelech turned to Hashem with his emotions, composing songs filled with jubilation at times, sorrow at others. I'm amazed by his ability to channel these feelings into these creative expressions, showing the soul of someone who truly lived his life in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. In doing so, David left us with a tremendous gift of beautifully composed, heartfelt prayers, which we can in turn say when we are experiencing different emotions and may not have the eloquence of our own words to express ourselves in connection with Hashem. Mizmor Tet, Psalm 9, contains a range of these emotions within the Mizmor itself. As is often the case with titles of Mizmorim, the meaning of the title of this Mizmor is not entirely clear. It begins with Lamnatzeach Almut Laben Mizmor LeDavid. We discussed the term Lamnatzeach yesterday. Almut Laben could refer to a musical instrument or tune, could refer to a person or event. Some interpret the word mut as referring to death and Ben as a son, which sadly for David HaMelech, who lost several sons, could be talking about more than one instance in his life. Some suggest it was the death of his son Avshalom, who rebelled against him and then was killed in battle. Others suggest it refers to the baby born of the illicit relationship between David and Bathsheba, who died soon after birth. If one takes the approach that the heading of the Mizmor describes the death of a child, it is strange that the first two psukim open up with expressions of gratitude and joy. Perhaps for this reason, others suggest that Laben is the name of an enemy of David HaMelech who wreaked much havoc until David was victorious against him. Psukim Bet through Gimel, verses 2 through 3, read, Odeh Hashem b'chol libi, asapra kol niflotecha, esmecha ve'eltza v'ach, azamra shimcha elyon. I will thank Hashem with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will rejoice and exult in you. I will sing to your elevated name. As was noted previously, every translation is an interpretation, as English words are chosen to explain the Hebrew ones. I translated Odeh as I will thank. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch suggests it be translated as I acknowledge, b'chol libi, with all of my heart, indicating whatever emotional state I am in. He goes on to connect the description of simcha, or happiness, in verse 3 with the Gemara in Shabbat 30b. Ein shchina shora lo mitoch atzvot velo mitoch atzlot velo mitoch schok velo mitoch kalut rosh v'chulei, ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, which Rav Hirsch understands as the nearness of God is to be won not by sorrow and indolence, nor jest and levity, etc., but by the joy that comes from duty fulfilled. This suggests that true simchat hachayim, joy in life, comes from the recognition of our role as Ovdei Hashem, people who are meant to serve God in this world. Rav Hirsch is not suggesting that this realization shields us from the vicissitudes of living, but perhaps grounds us and gives us the faith to persevere. The Mizmor continues with a description of Hashem vanquishing the enemies of the Meshorer, of the poet. Psukim Dalet through Vav, verses 4 through 6, read, Bishuv oivai achor, yikashlu biyovdu mipanecha, ki asita mishpati v'dini, yashavta l'chisei shofet zedek, ga'arta goyim, ibadita rasha, shemam machita liolam va'ed. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and are annihilated from your face, for you have done my just judgment. You sat on the chair of a righteous judge. You frightened nations, annihilated the wicked. You erased their name forever. Perhaps because of the reference to erasing their name, Rashi views these verses as referring to Amalek, the nation known for opposing God's will on earth by taking advantage of those who are poor and defenseless. This interpretation allows us to consider the different possible perspectives from which our Mishorer, our poet, may be speaking. As is often the case in Mizmorei Tehillim, past and future tense verbs are interspersed in a way which leaves open some ambiguity as to the point of view of the speaker. Dat Mikra points out that this chapter could be read as being told from the perspective of one currently under threat of war and anticipating a victory in which he will be able to thank Hashem for a miraculous salvation. In which case, the past tense verbs describing the smiting of enemies are actually anticipatory and part of a request of Hashem to get to the point in which that has happened. We will see as we continue learning the Mizmor that the triumphant tone switches to requesting, even begging, for salvation, which fits with this approach. This seems to be Rashi's view, as on Pasuk Bet, verse 2, he interprets the Nifla'ot, or wonders, referenced as referring to Gula Achrona, our final redemption, in which case the Mishorer is anticipating a time when Amalek will finally be vanquished. Dat Mikra raises an alternative possibility, in which this Mizmor is said after the salvation has occurred in gratitude to and praise for Hashem for the miraculous deliverance. According to this view, the requests for salvation in the Mizmor are retrospective. The Mishorer is remembering his pleas for help in gratitude for them having been answered. Dat Mikra takes a middle ground, assuming the Mizmor is meant to be said in gratitude, but even when thanking Hashem for salvation, we pray for continued siyata d'shmaya, divine help. Rav Hirsch notes that the description of enemies falling before Hashem's mishpat and din, the divine judgment, refers to the rise and fall of the nations of the world who rely on material force and grandeur and are willing to exploit moral considerations to accomplish their ends. Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is meant to diametrically oppose such a worldview and to depend instead on a spiritual perception of truth and the moral duty to live a life subordinated to Hashem. Indeed, the following two psukim contrast the ephemeral rise of the enemy with the eternal nature of Hashem. Psukim Zion through Chet, verses 7 through 8, read, Ha'oyev tamu charavot la'netzach va'arim natashta avad zichram hema, v'Hashem li'olam yeshev konein la'mishpat kiso. The enemy cities are destroyed forever in ruins. You broke their cities. The memory of them is lost. And Hashem sits forever, founding his seat for justice. The next pasuk elaborates on Hashem's role as judge. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, reads, V'hu yishpot tevel b'tzedek yadin l'umim b'meisharim. And he will judge the world with righteousness, judge nations in an upright manner. This theme of divine justice echoes similar sentiments in Mizmor Zion, Psalm 7, which we learned 2 days ago. Living in a world which often sees the wicked prosper, David HaMelech insists time and again in Sefer Tehillim that this is only a temporary state of affairs. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, reads, V'hi Hashem miskav ladach, miskav le'itot batzara. Hashem will be a fortress which shelters the downtrodden, a fortress for times of sorrow. Mitzudat David connects the parallel phrases in this pasuk, suggesting that the downtrodden refer to the brokenhearted, whom Hashem protects in their times of sorrow. The Mizmor continues with a description of our ability to rely on Hashem, who will not abandon us. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11 reads, V'yiftechu v'cha yodei shemecha, ki lo azavta dorshecha Hashem. Those who know your name will rely on you, for you, Hashem, have not forsaken those who seek you out. So far, our Mizmor has taken us from an opening of gratitude to a description of enemies being vanquished, to an acknowledgement of Hashem's eternal justice, which protects those in need and we can rely on. Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, calls out in song to Hashem, Zamru Hashem, sing to Hashem, Yoshev Tzion, dweller of Zion, Hagidu Bamim Alilotav, tell of his deeds amongst the nations. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, continues, Ki doresh damim otam zachar, lo shachach tzakat anavim. For he seeks out the blood of those he remembers. He has not forgotten the cries of the oppressed. Dat Mikra points out that the references of blood and crying out bring to mind Hashem's admonishment of Cain after killing his brother Hevel, Abel. Kold me'achicha tzoakim elai min ha'adama. The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. The cry to right the injustices of this world is one we can rely on Hashem to hear. At this point, as we mentioned earlier, the Mizmor shifts to requesting salvation. Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14 reads, Chananeni Hashem re'ei ani misonai merumimi misharei mavet. Show me favor, Hashem. See my oppression from my enemies. Save me from the gates of death. The next pasuk anticipates salvation. Pasuk Tedvav, verse 15, reads, Leman asapra kol tehilatecha b'sharei batzion agila b'shuatecha. So that I can tell of all your praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will celebrate in your salvation. Sharei Batzion, the gates of the daughter of Zion, referring to Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, who dwell in Zion, contrast Sharei Mavet, the gates of death, from the previous pasuk from which the Meshorer has been saved. The references to Zion and other nations gives this mizmor a national feel, which is yet another common thread throughout the book of Tehillim. The mizmorim can be read on a personal as well as a national level. In a similar vein to what we saw in chapter 7, the next pasuk, verse 16, describes the enemies bringing themselves down. Tavu gayim b'shachat asu bereshet zu tamanu nilkada raglam. The nation sunk in the pit they made, their legs were caught in this net which they hid. Some commentators read this pasuk and the next as the song of praise which the Meshorer says he will sing in celebration. He will sing of the downfall of the enemy and continues by indicating, as we see in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Noda Hashem mishpat asab b'fol kapav nokesh rasha higayon selah. Hashem is known by the judgment he did. The wicked one is trapped by his own deeds. Pasuk Yud Chet, verse 18, could be read as a request or as a statement of faith. Yashuvu Risha'im Lish'ola Kol Gayim Sheikhe Elokim. The wicked will return to the grave, all nations who forget God. Pasuk Yetzet, verse 19, continues, Ki lo la'netzach yishakach evyon tikvat aniyim tovad la'ad. For the poor will not be forgotten ever, forever. The hope of the poor will not be forever lost. Again, this verse can be read as a prayer or a statement of belief. And the Evyon, the poor, could be literal, or as Rashi suggests, could be referring to Am Yisrael, the experience of the Jewish people of being downtrodden amongst the nations. The next two psukim are clearly a prayer. Verses 20 through 21 read, Kuma Hashem al ya'oz enosh, yishavtu goyim al panecha, shita Hashem mora lahem yedu goyim enosh hema sela. Rise Hashem, do not let man, meaning the enemies of Israel, prevail. The nations will be judged on your face, meaning by you. Hashem put fear on them. The nations will know that they are but men. This ending fits well with Rashi's view that this mizmor is a futuristic vision of the final redemption. We have seen a range of emotions and much ambiguity in this mizmor. The mizmor describes the joy of salvation and includes desperate pleas for help. Expressions could be read as a request for salvation or expressions of confidence in salvation or both. It could be talking about an individual or national experience. We're not sure if the Meshorer is currently in a desperate situation begging for help or expressing relief having already been saved. Perhaps these ambiguities are intentional. The possibility of different interpretations leaves open the ability for different people to connect to the mizmor in different situations at different times. Furthermore, our experience in Olam Hazeh, in this world, is one of contradictions in which opposing ideas can both be true. With all the ambiguity, the confidence that ultimately divine justice will prevail is a clear theme of this mizmor, which is offered as a comfort in facing the challenges of our human existence. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.